The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
I'll touch this on next tomorrow. That's that first night. You know, when the Lord told Mary, you're going to carry a baby. The angel told her, she said, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man? You know, there are some things that the Lord will tell you to do. You ask him, how come? How will it happen? And you get the point. And you see the answer in that verse. He said, the Spirit of God will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and you will carry a baby. So there are some things that you will do next year. They may be secular things, but they are things that you can only accomplish by the Spirit. I know what I'm saying. There's a post on Facebook I saw, and one of us commented on it. I went to the inbox. I said, what kind of, why did you comment on that? What I say? The guy said something like, that the only thing we use prophecies to do, that prophecies are, he said they don't use prophecy for secular things. They can only use prophecy for spiritual things. How many of you know that's not true? That's a terrible thing. And he's a word guy. And people are just talking, say, I say, come. I didn't comment because actually, when somebody talks like that, he's been my Facebook friend for long. I know there was nothing I was going to say that he would agree with. So I just left him. But the people are commenting, so one of our people commented on it and said, I said, what are you talking about? How are we where we are today? It's by speaking words. I hope you know. It's by some words that men gave us that were where we are today. Many things. Hallelujah. Some of the blessings we saw, even in my own family this year, were things that God spoke to us last year, and we prayed them into accomplishment this year. So don't tell me you don't use prophecies to face physical things. How are you getting me? A lot of things has happened. Even in my own family, a lot of things has happened. We prayed them into reality. And all the words I gave some of us last year, Lord spoke to me last year. He said that there'll be specific things that will happen to you this year, that things people mocked your family for. I don't know if you remember that. Things people mocked you for, that God will settle them this year. And it happened for us. And where it happened for us, I've told you guys this story before. We, you know, was it not October or so? October. I started building a house. And it's not two rooms, so a full duplex. And October. Between October and December, the house is not just ready. It's ready, it's painted, it's fully, we are in it now. We moved in 2 weeks and 2 weeks and is it? No, sorry, 2 months and 14 days. You get the point? And you see, how does those, you know, there's some things God will do around you. You know, it's prayer. This one is prayer. You understand? This one is not, it's not hard work. So don't join that bandwagon of, God just wants, he just, everything will do. And that's why we come to church. Every time they say, give word, you know, it doesn't happen here anymore. Give word. You're telling about the ministry prospers in your hand. Your ministry is blessed. Some people are suffering in this life. You're telling them about their ministry. You know? And sometimes, you know, the devil is a very tricky person. There can be things, and there's one more instruction the Lord says I should give her. Thank you. Don't neglect meetings. In the coming year, don't neglect. One of the things the devil will try to fight in your life is to make sure they are not around during meetings. Some meetings you might have to travel for them. Are you getting me? Whatever is going to take you, it's worth it. You know, and we live in a system. I'm leaving my message already, but I'll come back to it. We live in a system where, you know, the world system is fashioned in a way that people don't value what we value. For instance, in your workplace now, if you tell them you want to take permission that your younger sister is getting married, they will allow you. Or that your grandfather died, they will allow you. But when you tell them you have a program or you have midweek service, they say, not only you, they go to church. You know, that's how the world is. But you must place value on those things. I had an experience I've shared with us a couple of times. That was some years ago. Okay, see, about 2 years ago or so. I had someone, very good daughter of mine, doing well. Suddenly, she started just misbehaving, just behaving anyhow. A lot of things were happening around her. And then I knew what the problem was. And every time we had one meeting or the other, she would plan to come. Sometimes she would even register ahead of time and all that. Even sometimes a date to the program, she will call me, say, Dad, I'm coming tomorrow. And then that tomorrow, something will happen. Sometimes something bad, sometimes something very good. Get the point? Maybe that day just say, ah, they're doing child dedication. You know? And sometimes they've just fixed tests. The other time my supervisor said I should see him now. And it kept happening. And then, even when we fix meetings, I said, come and see me. She would say, okay, I will not even say. She will call. I said, sir, I want to come and see you. Few days to that day, something just happened. And this didn't happen not 1 month, 2 months, close to a year. I didn't see her. We only saw maybe along the road. I'll see her on bike. She will pass. And the devil was so careful to make sure she doesn't come for any meeting. I didn't notice it at first. I thought it was just coincidence. The one that was praying for her, was an apostle praying for her. And the Lord said, stand up now and go to her house. Now, of course, you know, I don't visit people anyhow. If I'm going to visit, I'm going to call you and all that. But the Lord said, stand up now and go to her house. And so I stood up, I dressed up, I called, I said, where are you? He said, I'm at home. I said, I'm coming to your house now. He said, don't come. Don't worry, I'll come tomorrow. I said, don't worry. I like visiting people. I'll visit you today. You know, and I stepped into her house. What did I do? I just spoke with her. Less than 10 minutes, I was done. I went home. But you see, that particular meeting was what changed everything about her. She's very committed to ministry today and all that. Less than 10, how far now? You know, you've not been doing well. You say yes. And we just spoke. And I want to speak specifically for her. I spoke to her. And after talking to her, she started getting better. And I told her there's a meeting coming up. She said, I must be there. I say yes. I know you want to be there. But I said, one thing that will happen is that when that time comes, something will happen that will stop it from coming. I said, when that thing happens, ignore it. Guess what happened? That day they fixed a test for them, a quiz in school. So she called me. I said, come for the program. And that was crazy. That's why I said there are some instructions that you receive. Just follow it. So she left the quiz. She came for the program. They canceled the quiz. You see, the devil is just one kind of tricky person. And they didn't cancel the quiz until evening when she won't be able to come again. But that time she had left. Hallelujah. Learn to outsmart the devil sometimes. You know what I'm saying? So you must be a person. And from that experience, God began to teach me something. He said, one of the things you don't realize is you think the devil is so interested in making you sick or making you poor. One of the greatest interests of the devil is to stop you from being effective in life. And meetings make us effective. If Satan will deploy 10% of his power to make you poor, he will release 90% to make sure you don't attend some programs in your life. How many of you know that programs have changed our lives? Some meetings you just go to, everything will just change. And sometimes when you are done with the meeting, you don't even know what you heard. You don't even know what happened. You just know that you have been changed. You know? You don't even know. Sometimes, after some time, you cannot remember the message again, except you listen to it again, or you go to the notes, or go to your notes, but you just know that something shifted. And so, don't miss meetings. Are you getting me? And one of these, we're going to put up a lot of meetings next year. Don't miss them. Don't miss them. And it's just like an instruction to you. Hold on to those meetings. Some of those meetings, you will just come. And by meetings, I mean even church services. Church services, Thursday meetings. Don't be that kind of person that come to church once in a while. Don't be like that. And you see, I count the person as an unserious believer that can just miss church because he or she is having headache. You are not serious. I'm being very frank. You're not serious. You've decided to play with some things about yourself. And sometimes when you just step out from your house and enter the church, the headache will go. It was just the devil's game to stop from coming. And when people say, I was so depressed, I couldn't go to church. Where should you go to before? Go to church. When you get depressed, you go to church. So don't miss meetings. Amen. So the coming year is a good one for us. Amen. And why am I saying all these things? Whenever a year is coming, or you want to take a new step, as the Lord is speaking to you by prophecy, encouraging you, speaking to you by whatever, telling you what will happen, one of the things you must not neglect are the instructions that follow the words that come. The answers to those words you are receiving are found in the instructions. Many of us ignore some very simple instructions, and that's why the Lord will speak to you to not come to pass. Because every word comes with an instruction. Sometimes instruction is be still. It's enough instruction. Are you getting the point? Sometimes it is be still. Sometimes it is take heed to prayer. Sometimes it is God meet this person. God meet this person. Sometimes it is read your Bible. You'll be wondering. Sometimes there may be no connection between the word you've received and the instruction that is following. Just follow the instruction. The answers are found in those instructions. Many things the Lord will tell you. But then the next day now, we're saying is our way of lips and all that. God is going to tell us a lot of things we're going to do next year. We're going to take a lot of crazy steps next year, a lot of big things. But in those big things, we must make sure that we are following instructions per time. Are you know what I'm saying? Instructions per time. You know, when the Lord told Mary that she was going to have a baby, you know, one thing Mary would have done would have been to go and meet Joseph and say, see, let's have sex so that we'll have a baby. The instruction was, you will have a baby. What was the instruction? Just stay. Don't do anything about it. I don't know if you remember that story in the Bible when the Lord told somebody that you're going to be a king. So he went and killed the other king so that he can become a king quickly. Don't try to work things out by yourself. Are you getting me? Everything has a process. Follow the instructions that come with the words that God is giving you. Hallelujah. It's our last service for the year, last Sunday service for the year. Praise God. Has this year been a blessing? God is good. Merry Christmas, by the way. Amen. And Merry New Year, Abi. Isn't that Happy New Year, Abi? Prosperous New Year. In advance. Amen. Bless God. Okay, now we started teaching on the word that became flesh. John 1:14. Let's start from there again. If you are not here last Sunday, sorry. I won't go back. I'll just touch it a little. John 1:14. Let's use King James for our study today. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He said the word was made flesh, and that word that was made flesh dwelt among us, and we beheld the word. And in John 1 verse 1, that says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and that word was God. And verse 14 tells us that that word that was God was now made flesh. And that's the person of Jesus. You get the point? So Jesus is the word of God made flesh. And so we put it last Sunday. You know what? Let me see. Let me just do a little English here. What does the word incarnation mean? Incarnation, not reincarnation. What does incarnation mean? Be showing yourself. What? You can use your dictionary, don't just. Huh? It's not incantation, no. Is there another one? Use a dictionary. What did he say? Oh. Okay. This is incarnate. What's the word incarnation? I read it. Okay. Let me. The embodiment of a deity or spirit in some earthly form. Do you understand the incarnation? So when we say that, it means for a human body to embody divinity or embody deity. Do you understand the point? So we say Jesus, so the coming of Christ was an incarnation. It was God being made man. Okay, I said that last Sunday. So incarnation means a person who embodies deity. And so Jesus, that incarnation, God became flesh. God became man. I told you last Sunday, don't just say things like Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. While that's an element of the truth, that has to be studied and restudied again. Because if Jesus was 100% God on earth, he wouldn't be able to die. I get the point. Because God does not die. So what is Jesus? Jesus is God that became man. God that became man. God that became man. And I explained to you last Sunday that he became fully man. You know, he did not become half man. You understand? He didn't become half man. He didn't become, he became man as man. You know, sometimes when you read the story of Jesus, something tells you this was a superhuman. No, he was human. The Bible tells us in Hebrew that he was like us in all ramification. Remember that? He was like us in every way. In every way. I think that's Hebrew 4:15. Is it 4:15? Okay. Prophet said, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So you find that he was every temptation you think you passed through. He passed through it too. Why? Because he was fully man. He wasn't half man. He wasn't a superman. Let me just put it that way. He was man. In a sense, he was a superman, but he was just man. He was man. He was tempted. Either like I was saying last Sunday, I was telling us last Sunday, you know, many of us think that Jesus, you know, did not feel the things we felt. How many of you, if you slapped Jesus, will it pain him? Okay, it pained him. He grew up normally. When Jesus was small, did he pack sand? He packed sand. You see, that was why it was difficult for the Jews to accept that he was the Messiah. I didn't get a point. They watched him grow up. They saw him pee on his clothes. So, you know, when Mary gave, when people came to see him, they would have carried him. Oh, this is your baby. What's his name? He says, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. You throw him up, bring him down. You know, I'm just trying to make it very real to you. Get the point? They saw him sleep. They saw him when he was small. Maybe he did something. They said, don't want to die. You know, all those kind of things. They saw him. And suddenly this guy grows up and tells them, see, the Son of God. They say, this one, we know when you are born. You are not even born in the proper hospital. You are born. I get the point. So don't even talk like we don't know you. So he was fully man. And we saw that the reason why he became man was so that he could reveal to us. The first thing we saw last Sunday was he could show us the true character of God. In John 1 verse 1, it tells us that the Word became flesh. John 1 verse 1 said, in the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word was God. And I showed you that word, Word, is the Greek word logos, which talks about a person's reasoning, a person's thinking faculty, a person's logic. And so when he says that Jesus is, so he says in the beginning was the thinking faculty. That thinking faculty was with God, and that thinking faculty was God. So Jesus came in the flesh to reveal God's thought pattern, to reveal God's ways. And so even when he was in the flesh, he was showing us God's character. So I told you, one of the easiest ways to know what God will do and what he will not do is just to look at the life of Jesus in the flesh. Look at the steps he took. If you can understand the things Jesus did in the flesh, you will find out that you will see the true character of God explained. Because he came, what happened was, they were serving a God they never knew. Remember in John 1 verse 18, it tells us that no man has seen God at any time. So they were serving a God they didn't know. So that God they were serving now said, I am going to come in the flesh so that I can show you who I truly am. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is God's character revealed. Jesus is God's character on two legs. So they ate with God, slept with God, woke up with God. So he was there physically. And second reason we gave last week, why the Word became flesh, and this is the more reason why he had to be born as man. He had to be born, he had to pass through every stage of manhood, was so that he could qualify as our sacrifice. Remember that? So that he qualified. God could not die for man. You get the point? It is man for man. That's why the blood of bulls and rams could not take away sin. Are you still here? God could not die for man. So the man that must pay for the sins of man must be a full man. Number one. Two, he must be a sinless man. Both sinless in nature and sinless in his conducts. For his sacrifice to be accepted, we saw that last week strongly. He had to be a sinless man. We saw when the Bible was giving the commendation for the Passover. He said that the lamb for the Passover must be a spotless lamb. Remember that? A spotless lamb. A lamb of the first year. Spotless lamb. So Jesus had to be a man. And so if Jesus, like I was saying last week, dropped from heaven like Thor. He just dropped, beam, say, I have arrived. Is it Thor that dropped from heaven? From the sky? You wouldn't believe I've not watched any of those movies. Not one. I just heard. Amen. That is thought. That is. Okay, that's what you said. That is. Is it? Is it? Herculean, something like that. You understand? Uh-huh. But then, if Jesus had just appeared like them, his sacrifice would not be a proper sacrifice. Why? Because a man must pay for man. It is man for man. A real man. And you see, that's what we see. Hebrew 2. I think that's one of the last scriptures we saw last week. Hebrew 2 verse 14. Let's use NLT to look at it closely. So, the reason he became man, fully man, was to qualify, you know, to be the sacrifice. Look at how he put it. He said, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. I get what I'm saying? That's why I said if he was God, he wouldn't be able to die. Only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Verse 15. He says, only in this way could he set free all who had lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Come on. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary. This is where we stopped last week. It was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us. This verse summarizes everything I said last week. He was made in every, take note of the word, every respect like us. Everything, the way we are. Did he have muscles? He had. Did he have intestines? Small and large intestine? He had. I get to the point. Did he have a brain? He had. Did he, everything. Every respect like us. His brothers and sisters. So that he could be a merciful and faithful high priest for God. Then, he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. And so Jesus became fully man to be able to qualify as a sacrifice for man. What I'm saying is, if Jesus had become a half man, his sacrifice would not count. Are you here? If Jesus had become God that came and was walking up and down as God, those the quion. No. And that's why you find out that people say, Jesus is God though. He was not man, he's God. How did he do all those things that he did? You find out all those things that he did, you are now doing them. You get what I'm saying? Because he was just a man who knew how to use the power of God. You get what I'm saying? He was a full man. Same way you can still learn it and you are doing it. Hallelujah. How many of us have ever prayed for the sick and they got well instantly? Amen. And sometimes we even do things that Jesus did not do. Some big, big things he didn't do. How many of us have ever attempted or you've ever prayed for a short leg and the leg grew? A short leg or short limbs? Let me see your hand. Okay. Dream missions, right? These are things that Jesus knows, but you just pray short leg, you just see the leg grow, and hallelujah. And it's not because we don't stop being man when those things happen. We are just men who know how to use the power of God. I get to the point. He saw Nathaniel and said, I saw you under the tree. That's word of knowledge. Just like the scripture Nicky showed this morning, he saw that Jesus replied the man's thoughts. And we are doing it today. We reply, man. So that I'll be preaching from what I was preaching. It happens a couple of times. I'll just be preaching and right, I'll be hearing somebody's thoughts talking to me, replying my message. And I can just walk and say, somebody, just that I don't like embarrassing people, but I'll just say, somebody this side is saying in her heart now. And I'll just tell you. And so my point is, the miracles that he did was not because he was God. He was just man, normal man, who knew how to use the power of God. So you see, he became man so that he could pay for our sins. Hallelujah. So he could qualify to be the sacrifice for our sins. So, you find out, look at this verse again. It was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our messiah. So you find out what happened is, he identified with us in our humanity. Get the point? He came to identify with us in our humanity. I say it again. He came to identify with us in our humanity. So he became man like us. Made like us in every way. Made like us in every way. I'll come back to this statement I made when we'll be closing. He identified with us. I'm not preaching for long today. I just have to say that. But apart from everything I've said, from now onwards, I'm not preaching for long. He identified with us in every way. He became man like us in every way. And you know the amazing thing? Okay, let me ask you. When Jesus rose from the dead, did he rise as God or did he rise as man? How are you sure? When he ascended to heaven and is sitting at God's right hand, is he sitting as God or as man? Yeah. Okay, let's look at it. Luke chapter 24. You know, people think, you know, in Bible tells us that when Jesus rose from the dead, they were talking inside one room and he came in through the wall. Remember that place? And just appeared in their midst. You say, ah, that must be God though. But you know, people do it today. Nothing with that we don't do. People do it today. Amazingly, I've seen this thing happen. Okay, Luke 24 verse, when I mean people, I'm not talking about native doctors, so believers do it. Verse 36. Luke 24 verse 36. He said, and just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing among them. You see this place, he just, boom, he came. And peace be with you, he said. You know, normally when you see this, what will come to mind is man. This one is no more human. But look at the next verse. Let's continue. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. And so you see, people think that, you know, that Jesus is like all those Nollywood ghosts that now came after he died, he came out. And then you will not be seeing him. You just try to touch him, your hand will pass. You know that, those kind of things. And yet he will watch the road before crossing the road. He will watch out for cars before he crosses the road. But then you can't touch him. That's Nollywood. Bless God. So they thought they were seeing a ghost. Okay, let's continue. He said, why are you frightened? He asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubts? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost. So he said, he's not a spirit. Jesus did not rise from the dead as a spirit. He rose as man. You get the point? The word ghost there means spirit. Hope you know. He said, so, do you know the word ghost means spirit? But I've heard people say, see, that you are insulting God by calling him Holy Ghost. That can you call God ghost? That his Holy Spirit is not Holy Ghost. You better just wake up. Stop this joke. This is a new decade we are starting. At least stop this thing. Okay. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost. Because ghosts don't have bodies. As you see that I do. So he was trying to prove to them that, see, I'm still man. As man as you are. And he spoke. He showed them his hands and his feet. To prove to them further. Look at what he did. Still they stood there in disbelief. Filled with joy and wonder. No mixed feelings. Joy. Wonder. They were happy. They were still frightened. They were surprised. Then he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? To prove to them that I am man. They gave him a piece of broiled fish. Then he ate it as they watched. Bless God. So what did he try to prove to them? I am man as you are. I ate. You see? So he said, touch me and then give me food I will eat. I just want to prove something to you. So even when he rose from the dead, you know, I heard a song recently. A church did a song, very wonderful song. He said, God in man, who died as man and rose as man. That's a wonderful, wonderful song. He died as man. And he did not rise like as a spirit. He didn't rise as one ghost like that. Where he can have a pion, pion, pion. No, he rose as a full man. He rose as man. And then, even when he ascended into heaven, he didn't stop being man. You notice, he was still that his body that he died with, that he woke up with. That's why I say, touch my hand. See, the body did not change. That same body. And when he was ascending to heaven, the Bible did not tell us that it happened like the death we see in Nollywood movie, where the body will be lying down and the person will now stand up and come out. No, he was still that his body that he carried into heaven. And Paul emphasizes that in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. He said, for there is only one God. and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He was so clear. He is the man. So even as he's sitting there as the mediator between God and man, he's sitting there as the man Jesus. I'll tell you the implication of this later. Amen. And so he came as man. He walked the earth as man. He died naturally as man. I mean, when he died, his pulse stopped, everything stopped, just like man used to die. Then he woke up and was still man and ascended as man too. And sat down on God's right hand as a man. Of course, let me just say this. You see, we can be in heaven because there's already a man in heaven. How do you get the point? There is a man in heaven. Our kind is in heaven. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to come to that shortly. And so, you notice he came as man, walked the earth as man, died as man, rose as man, ascended as a man, sat down at the right of God as man as we are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so you notice he came as man, and as man he was called the Son of God. But one thing you notice is that in that incarnation, when he came as man, he was called the only Son of God. You observe that? In John 1, verse 18. Maybe John 1, 18. He said, no one has ever seen, but the one and only Son is himself God. And so, in his incarnation, he is called God's one and only Son. He came as God, came as man, but then came as the Son of God. In John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave what? Only begotten Son. So he refers to Jesus as God's only Son. God's only Son. God's only Son. He came as the only Son. But then, the purpose of his coming as the only Son was not to remain the only Son. Look at Hebrews 2 verse 10. He came as the only Son. I'm going further into what he did in his incarnation. That's what I'm trying to tell, what he did when he became flesh. He came as the only Son. But what was the purpose? He said in Hebrews 2 verse 10. Okay. For God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. Put up King James. He said, King James to say that he came to bring many sons to glory. So you find out he came as the only Son, but he did not come to be the only Son. Can I say it again? He came as the only Son, but he did not come to be the only Son. The purpose of his coming was to bring many sons. Not one now, many. He came as the only Son, but he didn't come to be the only Son. And so that's why when you now begin to read the epistles, like I've explained to you, he's no longer called the only Son. He will now be called the firstborn. Romans 8:29. Those whom he foreknew, he predestinated. Okay, it's Romans 8:29. Say, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be what? The firstborn among how many people? Many brethren. And so the reason he came in the flesh, you see, was so that God can have many sons. So he came as the only Son to birth many other sons. And so you will learn. For instance, this word firstborn here, I've explained to you, is the Greek word prototokos. What does it mean? It means a prototype. And so, he came as the model son. You get the point? He came as the model son to be able to birth other sons. Colossians 1 verse 18, you see that same word again? He came as the model son. So when you use word prototype, I usually use a phone company to explain this to you at all times. Now, this is a phone. This is an iPhone 6. You see, iPhone used to have an iPhone 5. And they got to a point, they said they want to make an iPhone 6. And then, they sat down, they discussed, and I can tell you, they now sent their engineers or their technicians Say, get into the workshop. Get us an iPhone 6. You should have these, and these specifications. And they went and they sat down and they produced only one. And they will now present it to the board. Do you get the point? The board will look at it and say, okay, does it do this? Does it do this? And then after everything, they will all adopt it and advertise it as iPhone 6. You know now that is iPhone, there's 11 Pro, Abby? So when they start on it, I wonder why some of you use some of those things. It's good though. Good things are good anyway. But he's not going to be obsessed with such things. I get me. Don't be using a phone that is costed than your salary. Don't be like that. That's by the way. And so you find out. So when they sat down and they came out, I can just imagine the technician saying, this is the iPhone 6. They put it on the projector, on the screen. You can do this. They just, after looking at it, the whole board will agree, this will now be called iPhone 6. And they'll not advertise it. Now, what would they do? They will take this same model. This is the model iPhone 6. And take it to the lab and mass produce this same thing. Such that everything you can see in that first iPhone 6 that was made will be seen in every other iPhone 6 that we produced. Do you get the point? And so we can say this iPhone is the firstborn among many brethren. Do you understand it? It doesn't mean it's older than every other person. First doesn't mean first as in I am first and you are second and third and I'm God's last born and then you are this. No. First simply means this is the it means preeminence. It means the first to be made. It means prototype. Are you still here? So it was made. So Jesus came to the earth as God's son to be a model son so that many other sons can be birthed through his coming. So Galatians 1:18 says, he said, as he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have what? The preeminence. So it just means preeminence. It doesn't mean he's bigger. So what I'm saying is Jesus is not more, he came not to become more of a son than we are, but so that we can become sons as he is. Do you get the point? He didn't come to become more of a son. And so in my note I said, so we are made after him. So when he came as the model son and passed through the process as the model son and died, you know, he came as the son of God. But then he died. And God said, this day have I begotten you. So when he rose from the dead as the son, the firstborn from the dead, all of us were now made in that his image. And so what you find out is, he came as the only son. I said, he did not come to be the only son. So, should I say this? Okay. So we are made after him. And so, he came as us so that we could be as him. Or, let me put it another way. He came as us to make us as him. And so, that's why I started by saying he was identified with us that we might be identified with him. Do you understand the point? So the story of Christmas is about a God who became man, or who became as man, that man may become as God. Are you still here? It's about a God who became as man, that man may now become as God. It's about a prototype son. It's about a model son. And so today, after that prototype, after that model, we all have been made as believers. And so you find out the Bible telling, for instance, in 2 Peter rather, 1 verse 4. It tells us that we are partakers of the divine nature. We are partakers of the divine nature. What does that tell you? It tells you that everything that is in the divine nature, we share it with him. Because he came, notice, remember Hebrews 2 verse 17. He was made in every respect as us. That we might be made in every respect as him. I get what I'm talking about at all this morning. The same way he was made in every respect as us. The reason is so that we can be made in every respect as him. So you see, the Bible says things like, we died with him. We were buried with him. We rose with him. So that we can become as him. So we are partakers. What up like NLT of this verse? Yeah, by this we might become partakers of the divine nature. NLT said, these are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature. What up Amplify? Let us see. That divine nature. You see, Amplify says, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. Okay, it says divine nature. Then another translation is another thing. Put up like an IV or something. Message said, we were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you your tickets to participation in the life of God. Hallelujah. So we are participating and sharing in God's life. So we share his life. Are you getting the point? We share his nature. So the same way he came to share, remember fellowship, remember that message? The same way he came to share and partake in our life, we have also come to share and partake in his life. And so he came as us, or he became as us, that we might become as him. So he became the God-like man, that we might become the man like God. Do you understand what I said? You got what I said now? He became the God, not God-like man, no. I mean God-like man, you understand? He became the God-like man, that we might become the man like God. So he became as us, that we might become as the reason for the incarnation is so that God can become man in every ramification, that man may become God in all ramification. Hallelujah. So we call him the God that became man. So we can also call ourselves the men who have been made as God. Hallelujah. Colossians 2 verse 9. So what is the purpose of the incarnation we are learning today? The purpose of the incarnation is so that man can become like God. God became like man, that man may become like God. So the day Jesus was born and they were celebrating, they didn't know that that was the beginning of a great story. A story that will make all of them, if only they will believe, to take on God's nature. Look at Colossians 2 verse 9. Let's King James, sorry. Not message, not NLT. Now look at what King James said. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. What? Now when he says bodily, what does he mean by bodily? In flesh, right? In a human form. Look at NLT. Let's go back to NLT and come back to KJV. Look at where NLT put it. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So actually God is, or Jesus is a human being that embodies deity. Remember incarnation again, that definition? He's a human being that embodies deity. Now verse 10. After he said that Jesus is God and all that, he then said, you are complete in him. Go to King James, sorry. You are complete in him. And so the same way, maybe let's do a little English. When I say you are complete in someone, what do I mean? Huh? Does it mean that I have all of the person? Huh? Does it mean that? It means everything about the person. Build up like message or NIV or amplified, any of them. Of that verse 10. You say you are complete in him. Message said, when you come to him, that fullness together for you too. Do you get the point? Which fullness is he talking about? The fullness he described in verse 9, right? The fullness of God. That fullness becomes yours too when you come to him. You see what HSCB said? He said, you've been filled by him. Look at what GNT said. That's a good translation. Say, you have been given full life in union with him. So that fullness of God that he has in human form has become your fullness too in human form. Do you get the point? And so, will I be right? Put up Amplify. If I ask this question, put up Amplify. The amplifier of this verse. He said, and you are in him, made full, and and having come to fullness of life in Christ. I like this. In Christ, you are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Do you get the point? And so, the same way God, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost took on human form, that same way, we as humans have been full of God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Bible said we have reached full spiritual stature. I don't know about. And so you see, he became all of man, that man may become all of him. He didn't hold back anything. I told you, he shared everything, even his own glory. He said, the glory I have I shared with them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Everything. Are you still here? And so in Christmas, we read the story of a God who become all of man, that man may become all of him. I'm almost done. I'm done, actually. So can we boldly say that we too, we are incarnations? We are men who have embodied deity. We are men who, according to Colossians 2 verse 10, are full of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So Jesus was the first incarnation. But many others have happened. In his days, there was one man who was carrying the Godhead, who was carrying divinity. There are many of them. And I tell you, in these last days, the earth is going to be full with the knowledge of the glory of God. A lot of men carrying divinity. A lot of men carrying the Godhead in them. A lot of them all over the place. Just as men come to light, we're going to see more and more men carrying divinity in them. So we are incarnations too. So Jesus is God who became as man. We are men who have become as God. You see, the Bible tells us that as he is, so are we. And I've explained to you that scripture is talking about love. The same way, and you know the Bible tells us God is love, right? In that sense, as he is. So the same way he is love personified, we have become love personified too. Everything he is. So when we are celebrating Christmas, we are celebrating the incarnation, we are celebrating the birth of Christ, we are celebrating what produced, you see, the first incarnation in history. And we're celebrating the fact that even today, there are many more incarnations. Hallelujah. I'm an incarnation. I'm human that embodies divinity. I love this verse. You are in him, made full, and having come to fullness of life in Christ. You know, I told you last week, he said that divinity saving humanity is like a human being becoming chicken to save chickenity. You remember? You know, and the reason he came to save chickenity is so that chickenity can now embody humanity. You know what it means? It means like a man now becomes a bird, and the bird, all the birds can now, as even though they're still birds, they can now do everything that the man can do. They can now talk. They now have the brain of man. Do you understand it? They can now press system. They can now answer calls. They can now fall in love and fall out of love. Everything, they can now do those things, even though they're still chickens. So what are they? They are birds who have become man. What are we? We are men who have become as God. I get the point. And so today we are celebrating, or this season, we are celebrating what God has done for us in Christ. We are celebrating the firstborn, the prototype, our model son, after whom all of us have been paid. Now, go back to my iPhone story. Do you know, by the time we all produce all the iPhones and put them in a basket, and you tell even the engineers to pick that first phone they made, they won't be able to pick it up. Because all of them now do the same thing. Except they made a mistake. I don't get the point. That's why you see, you are not a photocopy of God. Do you get the point? You're not a photocopy. And so, that means, when we all stand, even Satan cannot differentiate between the Son and the sons. Do you get the point? Because as he is, All of us have been made. We embody. We have to come to the fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled with the God. This scripture got me mad last night. I was looking at it with the Amplified. He said, you too are filled with the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's amazing. We too, we are filled with everything of the Godhead. And so, you see, that's why you find out. Maybe let me close this way. That all the abilities that Jesus had when he walked the earth are the ones he has now. You too have them. All of them. All of them. All the abilities that he possessed. You too have them. He became flesh that we might become as him. He became as us that we might take on his own nature. He took our human nature that we might take his divine nature. So the same way he appeared in their midst without touching the wall, you too can appear in different places. And these are not exciting words. They are true. You get the point? They are not exciting words. They are true. We can cause crazy things to happen. 2 days ago, you know, a man came to see me in the village. I don't know how. Because, you know, sometimes when you go to the village, you think you're going home to rest. But people will just be following you up and down. So, after I got there, he came around. I was asking my mom, say, you're head of this. But I came out, I said, I don't know. I've never seen you. Who told you about me? And I said, that somebody told him about me 3 months ago. So they've been looking for my number. So they've been waiting for when I will come back to the village. So I said, okay, what is it? So he came up with... So he came up with a lot of issues, and one of them was, you know, impotency and all that. So laid hands on him, and the Lord restored him instantly. And then he left. And you know, this is something about God and every ability we have, he has. So he just left that place immediately. And then I was done with him because he came. I gave him another time. He came back because when he came, I was going out actually. I told him to come back the next day. He came back after praying for him. To go up the room to stay for like some minutes, I heard another knock. Somebody else is looking for you. The same man came back with another man. He said, he was going back and he saw this man. This man, his hand has been paralyzed for long. He just woke up and found it. So he said, I'm coming from somewhere that something happened to me. Let me take you back. I said, sir, I don't have an appointment with you. He said, sir, just do this one. So laid hands on him again. The hand came alive and the man was shouting in the house. I said, no other person is coming to this house. All of you should go home. Don't tell another person about me. I'm not even in this village. I'm traveling this evening. You know, what am I telling you? All the abilities of God we have. And one of my aunties was just watching how those things happened. And she called me after. I said, is that how it happens? Just like that. The hand just started moving. I said, that's the ability of God we have. We are men who are embodying God. Getting me. So this period, I remember how divinity took on humanity, that humanity can be able to embody in fullness divinity. So every ability of God is in us. I told you, we read people's thoughts. We can be talking and looking at you. I'm telling you, look at what they are thinking. It's not psychology we are doing. We're not doing psychology. We are doing what we are. We are incarnations, men who are carrying divinity. Today was at a meeting just last month, this month, okay, early this month, and we're praying, and the Lord said, I told them, see, I want us to pray for everybody that has a skin infection or that has an open wound. We're going to lay hands and the wounds will dry up in our presence. These are things you call impossible. You know, normally you pray, say, go back, it will dry up tomorrow. We prayed, we saw eczema disappear, clear instantly by the power of God, in preaching. Instantly, we saw different skin, whatever, you see rashes, you see it drying up, you know, sometimes it can be dramatic. That's the power of God. You see it going gradually until it is gone. And we saw those things in those meetings. All I'm trying to tell you is, everything that is divine is working inside of you. See, there is much more working in you. It's not just all these bones and all this blood and my brain that is working. That's why you see, you must know that the Lord is at work in you. The power of God is working on my inside. And when we're talking about the DNA of God, God's very DNA. I get the point. So, you know, when they bring out your DNA and your daughter's DNA, it will be the same thing. They will match. That's how it is with God. Hallelujah. Are we second borns? No. We are from the church of the firstborn. Do you get what I said now? The church of the... It doesn't mean you are second by a third born. You know, Because that's why Romans 8 will tell us, I've explained it before, that we are joint heirs with Christ. We are not just heirs. Because if we are heirs, you know, it means, you know, as the first son, he has double the inheritance, then we share the rest. But as joint heirs, we own everything in common. The Godhead. So let's read again. And you are in him, made full, and having come to fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And reach full spiritual stature. So, I love the way Pastor Chris put it. He says, we are not human beings having a supernatural experience. We are supernatural men who have human experience once in a while. We are fully spiritual. We are men that have embodied divinity. So you see, when he came with one confidence that he will return, not as the only son, but as the firstborn. Hallelujah. If he did not come as man, by now there will be only one son. Possibly, or no son at all. But he came to model a son. That every other son can come in his image. Are you grateful to God for Jesus? Are you happy for Christmas? Hallelujah. Are you excited for what God has done in giving his son? In making us not just sons, but joint heirs with him. Hallelujah. The aim and the reason he came is to bring many sons to glory. I'm happy I'm one of those many sons. Are you not happy? We all have been brought to glory. Many sons brought to glory. Let's stand to our feet wherever we are. Just stand your feet. We're going to take some time to bless God this morning. We're going to bless him. It's a simple message. He was identified with us, or he identified with us, that we might be identified with him. So when we teach about identification with Christ, how he is righteous and we are righteous, we must first realize that before we started becoming as him, he first took on our own form, so we can take on his own form. Hallelujah. So it's not just that we are righteous and he's righteous, we are holy and he's holy and all that. It is that we are men, or we are men and he became man. That when he's done with what he's going to do, which is his death and resurrection, we all can stand as he is. As he is. Wave your hands, let's give God praise. Let's give him praise.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.